I got a can of cookie cheese you with. Right, and there we are. Hi everyone, Leo Smith here of MMA UK, coming at you with another MMA UK live show. Tonight, this is a Cage Warriors 104 special. Of course, Cage Warriors 104 is going to be showing down in Cardiff's Viola Arena, formerly the Ice Arena, on April 27th, and headlined by Scott Malone and Jack Shaw. So, a huge card, especially for Wales. There's a lot of big fighters on there. And yeah, we're going to be running through a few of the fights tonight, as well as a few other things that's going on this weekend. So, yeah, guys, feel free, if you're watching on YouTube, drop some comments. We'll get through them as quickly as we can. And yeah, I want to start by introducing my co-host this evening. First of all, the wonderful Katie Hunter. Katie, how are you this evening?
I'm good, thank you. I'm repping another T-shirt tonight. Mr. Bag and Tag.
Mr. Bag and Tag.
Michael Fighter.
Nice one there, Katie. And of course, none other than Chris Emmanuel as well. Chris, how's it going this evening?
I can't believe you didn't give me that heads up for that, Katie. I've got a Bag and Tag T-shirt. My little girl's got two of them. She's got taggers that she wears when she does her Muay Thai classes. So I could have had them all over the shop, literally to splash in Nathan Jones everywhere. Even a hoodie. I'm literally Nathan Jones's biggest super fan.
Next time we'll do it in unison.
Yeah. Have you got one, Lewis?
I don't, but I'll graciously accept one of yours, Chris, if you've got so many, but.
£97, good value.
Very good value. They last as well, and there's a whole wide array of colours. Mine's turquoise. It's beautiful. Goes well in my skin tone.
Nathan Bag and Tag Jones is be well represented on the show tonight, I can see. So, but yeah, guys, I want to start off. Obviously, this is the Cage Warriors 104 rundown. But with such a massive UFC card going down on the weekend, I think it's only fair that we give that a brief mention for a few minutes. Obviously, UFC Atlanta went down this weekend. Headlined, of course, by Max Holloway and Dustin Poirier. Massive card, some insane fights. Katie, with the first one, we talked about it briefly the other day. Israel Adesanya and Kelvin Gastelum fought for the interim middleweight belt. What was your thoughts on this? I know we both said that we kind of favoured Kelvin because we liked him. Unfortunately, got a loss by decision, a war decision. What was your thoughts on the fight overall?
Well, what a fight. And what I said to you last week was I wasn't saying that Adesanya wasn't the next big thing, but I still had some question marks over him. I don't think he'd done enough, hadn't faced enough tough opponents, and I hadn't really seen him overcome any adversity. To see his face at the end of that fight, and even to see his face at the end of the first round, and to come back as he did, in the end, I was begging Mark Goddard to stop the fifth round from my sofa. Just it was pretty brutal to watch at the end, but it was amazing back and forth. It was an absolute treat. What did you think?
I loved it. I mean, I know on the scorecards Israel went by quite a clear distance, didn't he? But I'm not sure how the rounds were scored individually, but I know he dropped Kelvin three times in the final round, which was a really big round for him. The fight itself, I thought, was very close, and there was times when I thought Kelvin might get a stoppage in the fourth round. I felt if he pressed instead of going for the takedown, he may have got a stoppage there. It was a great fight from both guys, but like you said, at the end, I was kind of hoping Mark would step in. I felt Kelvin was taking a lot of unanswered shots, and disappointed. Like I was saying to you the other day, I'm a huge Kelvin Gastelum fan. I followed him since I think he was on the Ultimate Fighter with Chael Sonnen. And I love that series. I watched every episode. I just love the fact that he was kind of a young guy coming in and an underdog. I think he's kind of kept that up ever since in the UFC. He always sort of comes in under the radar and then wins. So I've really followed him. I like his personality. So I did secretly want him to win that fight, even though I'm a huge Adesanya fan as well. So
Seemed like Adesanya found his range a bit, like after the first round. Like Kelvin was really good at closing the distance in the first round, and then after that, I felt like he was standing at quite a dangerous kind of kicking distance for Adesanya, and
the last round was one that made a difference. That was a 10-8. Now, it's one thing which amazed me actually with both the title fights was that all of the judges were unanimous. They made exactly, they scored every single round exactly the same way, which is quite a rarity actually across any type of MMA event. But yeah, going back to what we're saying about Goddard, I've noticed he's got quite a bit of stick on social media for allowing that to go on. And I thought that's probably a bit unfair, really. You know, the guy's, he's been at the top of his game for the best part of a decade now. You know, it was a world title fight. If he'd stopped it early, Gastelum would have been the first to complain, because Gastelum you know, he's been working all of his career, as he says on his Twitter, he's going for gold, isn't he? That's his Twitter handle. So Goddard gave him every opportunity to actually recover and to get back into it. And, you know, fair play to Mark. He put his hands up on Twitter and he turned around and he said, look, you know, I made a mistake. Human error accounts for 95% of mistakes in any type of business. So, you know, Goddard certainly is still one of the best in the world. The way that he's handled it, I think, has been absolutely superb. And, yeah, unfortunately, he's seen some of the MMA trolls turn their attention unfairly to probably one of the top three refs in the world, I'd say.
It was only the last, like, 10 to 15 seconds. Mm. Like, so...
Out of a 25-minute fight, you know?
Yeah. It was just... I don't know. As a real fan of Kelvin, I just didn't want to see him take any more damage, but... It's a lot easier to say that sitting on your sofa at home than it is when you're the ref in the cage.
So. It's a fine line as well, isn't it? You know, either stop it too early or too late. Like you said, it was only that last few seconds, so I'm not overly hating on the decision not to stop it, but at the end, it was kind of a little bit where I was like, "Ooh, I wish you would have stopped that and saved Calvin."
It did look a little bit painful, I think we've all got the real benefit of hindsight with that, haven't we?
Exactly.
And they said they're like,
yeah. True.
And Chris, what, obviously, a massive win for Adesanya. Like Katie said, he looked really, really good that last round. He really stepped up and showed championship quality there. He's going to be facing the
Robert Whittaker. Champion
now. Robert Whittaker, yeah. What's your take on that matchup now to come?
The problem with Whittaker is you can never... I can't see how he's as good as he actually is. He's one of those guys that he just flatters to deceive all the time. He just appears to be pretty good at everything. And going into fights, you can't see how he's going to beat people who've got these specific skill sets, but he seems to come out on top. But I think he takes a little bit too much punishment with Whittaker in fights. So with Adesanya's pretty unique skill set, I think that Whittaker could struggle. He could be his kryptonite. I'm glad that they are definitely doing that, and the nonsense that has been talked about with John Jones and Adesanya isn't happening straight away, because, come on. Why on earth would you want to see Israel Adesanya get murdered by John Jones? There's just no benefit to that. It's just
why give him an interim belt and then do the fight with John Jones? It's
nonsense. Yeah. It's absolute nonsense. But no, as long as Whittaker stays healthy, because he seems to be, it wouldn't surprise me if he's trained at AKA, he seems to be made of glass, doesn't he, a lot of
very
the time.
Very.
But, you know, as long as he's healthy, it's going to be possibly one of the best ever fights we've seen, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And Katie, for you, what's your take on the matchup now going forward, Israel and Robert Whittaker?
I'm still going to pick Robert Whittaker, because every time I think that he can't do it, he finds a way. So... Yeah. I totally get what Chris is saying about not being too sure what his like main strengths are. He just seems to be well-rounded. And I don't know. I'm still not like 2,000% on the Adesanya hype train.
I'm a little bit more on the Adesanya hype train now.
I'm definitely more on it than I was, but I'm like half, 1 foot on it.
I think he showed a lot of heart in that last round. He took a few shots in the fourth and then come back much stronger. He had good takedown defense. So I agree with Chris. I think he could be a bit of a kryptonite for Robert Whittaker, because it's going to be largely striking. And I just think he's a better striker. So I am more on board the Adesanya hype train. And I'm really looking forward to that fight now. I think it's going to be a really good one. And if that fight wasn't good enough, we had an absolute war. I know Dana came out and said that was one of the best title fights he's ever seen, which I would definitely agree with. Straight after, we had another fight, which was almost as good. Obviously, Max Holloway, featherweight champion, against a veteran at this point, a young veteran, Dustin Poirier. I'll come to you first, Chris. What do you think of this fight? Obviously, Dustin getting the win, another decision quite clearly.
To the best young athletes, I think, probably in UFC history. This week, we've seen Rich Franklin inducted into the UFC Hall of Fame. 10 years' time, I could see both of these guys going in there as well. Technically, they're just so adept. They've got absolute heart. Max Holloway's just a class act as well, isn't it? You know, all the way through, win or lose, he's just the same. He's just a good guy. In terms of volume, you know, it was a war of, I know, two distinct styles. I'd say Max Lanard had the greater volume, Dustin more significant strikes, which clearly won it for him. And as I said before, the judges were unanimous in their decisions. They said they gave rounds 1, 2, 4, and 5 to Dustin. I'm going to be interested to see where Max goes from this, though. Does he drop back down to featherweight and just go on a tear and run through everybody? There's still plenty of really interesting fights from at lightweight. So I'd like to see Max stay up at lightweight, preferably. And I really, really hope that nonsense tweet from Conor McGregor doesn't come to anything. I want to see Dustin Poirier have a unification fight against Khabib Nurmagomedov in September. Get there in the end, yeah. None of this, you know, Khabib versus Conor and Dustin versus Nate rubbish. It's got to be interim title holder versus the actual title holder for me. How about you?
I would definitely agree with that. I think Dustin's earned his shot now. He looked absolutely brilliant against Max Holloway. Like you said, Max definitely, when he put his foot on the pedal, he was hitting Dustin with a lot of volume, had Dustin hurt a couple of times in the fight. But what surprised me, number one, was how much bigger Dustin Poirier looked than Max Holloway.
Yeah.
And his ability to hurt Max. He was catching him with shots that were constantly wobbling Max. And I got to be honest, there were times where I thought Max was going to get finished because Dustin was hitting hard. And, you know, if you can beat a champion like Max Holloway, the fights he's had, the performances he's put on, I think he's got to fight for a belt next. It's stupid that we're even considering him not, but we just know, you know, if we've been sort of seen with the UFC that an interim belt does not mean you're going to get the main belt. So I sincerely hope we do see that. And I think Dustin can pose problems for Khabib, you know, even though Khabib's been really dominant over the last few years. Dustin's a big lightweight. He hits hard and he's got a lot of heart. So I think that's going to be a great match. And it's going to be another big one. I mean, what do you want to see next for both guys, Katie?
Dustin's got to get Khabib. There's no justice in the world if he doesn't get that matchup after this many fights to get the interim belt. And like Dana was moaning about people mocking the interim belts yesterday.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with the interim belts as long as they mean what they're supposed to mean and that person's got the title shot next, the real title shot. So he's got to have him next. And for me, Max Holloway, Dana said he's got to go back down because he looked small, featherweight. But for me, Dana told him, plucked him out of featherweight and said, do you want to fight Dustin for the lightweight interim title? He's a good company man. And he said yes, and he's taken it whenever Dana's wanted him to do it. If he's going to move up to lightweight, he's obviously staying lean to get to featherweight as it is. So I feel like he's got to take some time. My friend Luke Barnett, who's moving up to light heavyweight from middleweight because he's struggling with the middleweight cut after all this time, has said that it's going to take him 2 years to fully become a light heavyweight. So I would like to see Max take a bit of a break and like build some muscle and come back, because he doesn't have to be inferior in size to some of these guys. He's tall and he could easily put on some muscle mass that he's been trying not to stick around at featherweight. Yeah.
And GSP is another example of that. He took a long time before he jumped up to middleweight because he wanted to put the weight on, didn't he? So
exactly. And for me, I just think some of the health issues that he's had in the past that we never really, I don't know whether he got to the bottom of them, but we never really got to find out whatever that was. But they say it wasn't to do with weight cutting. I feel dubious about that, but I would like to see him fight at lightweight, but I do think it would be very difficult to vacate a belt without having a title shot to go to. So I get his dilemma there as well.
Yeah, so back then, you think back down to featherweight for the meantime and then take some time to go to lightweight eventually, is it? Or do you want to see him go straight back now to lightweight?
I'd like him to take some time off now, like really recover. Yeah. Just get back and get healthy and then maybe get in the gym and build some like extra muscle and then step up to lightweight.
Yeah, what's your take on this Holloway situation, Chris?
I would like Max to go down to featherweight and smash through absolutely everyone who comes into the UFC at featherweight. Just completely dominate the division in the same way the GSP did. we've seen too many people bounce between weight categories. He came up, he had a go, didn't really work out for him. If he loses his belt, 100% go up to lightweight, because he does struggle with this weight cut. You can see it. And exactly as Katie says, he has to stay lean to actually get to that 145 weight title weight. So for his longevity, lightweight is probably the best way to go. But for the time being, just to respect the belt, I suppose, it'd be good to see him just stick at 145 and just, yeah, build that legacy up.
Yeah, who's next for him, you think? Is it Volkanovski next shot, do you think, Matt Pratt?
Why not? To be honest, there's lots of people who are sitting at that kind of level below. Yeah. Alexander Volkanovski's had a good run, deserves a shot. So, yeah, give him a shot. He'll get
another
murdered.
Australian card in September now as well.
Yeah, why not? Give him a title run. Give him a title, a headline fight.
Yeah.
If you've got a native, you should really use it. So why not?
Yeah, right. And Katie, obviously, you know, UFC Atlanta, two amazing title fights on that card. I know you touched on it briefly earlier, Dana, saying that this is for all the dummies who've criticised interim belts. What's your take on this card overall, and what do you take away from the fact that we've had these two belts? Do you think that's just an excuse for Dana to get away with chucking in an interim belt now whenever he wants?
Yeah, well, I definitely do. I think he feels vindicated in them. Yeah. And again, I haven't got a problem with having these interim belts. Like these ones as well. These are people who are genuinely out for quite a long time, you know, at least a year. So I get it. What I don't get is when he doesn't then respect the interim belt and just decides to put somebody in. So, for example, if he throws Conor in against Khabib, when Conor's done absolutely nothing to deserve it other than it's going to generate them a lot more money, then that's when I think the fans start to lose respect for the belts.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, overall, great card. And, yeah, to be honest, I might actually watch it again over the next couple of days because I really did love those fights. And, yeah, so obviously you had Khalil Roundtree who put in a decent performance as well. So,
yeah,
really, really great card. But that brings us on to the next point we're going to discuss tonight, which is the main reason we're here. Obviously, just wanted to touch on that UFC card there. Cage Warriors 104, which is going to be going down in Cardiff April 27th, headlined by Jack Shaw, the bantamweight champion, in a massive clash against Scotland's Scott Malone. Huge card, huge fights with a lot of Welsh interest, a lot of UK interest, really. Start off with you, Chris. We're going to start from the top of the bill while we've got most people watching. Jack Shaw versus Scott Malone. How do you see this fight going, and what's your prediction?
Okay. where do I see it going? I see Scott Malone coming out with a very set game plan. What the game plan is, I don't know, because I'm not a fighter. But one thing you see from Scott Malone is a really intelligent approach to every single fight. I watched back a few of his fights today, and just the difference in approach dependent on opponent is really stark. The one similarity you see throughout his fights is once he gets hold of somebody, he's hyper aggressive. He gets hold of, you know, he's got a great British judoka background. So, you know, once he gets his hands on you, you do struggle to get him off. But he's also got ridiculous speed as well. A lot of people are looking at Malone as essentially another grappler in the same way as Mark Akindoya was, but they're very, very different styles of grappler. He's got a far more dynamic grappling style than Akindoya, who's more of a submission wrestler. Malone, although you don't see him on his back too often, because he's got a wider array of submissions, I think that he'd be more comfortable on his back. But for sure, to get him on his back is probably going to be the hardest thing. The hardest thing that he's had in his, well, 10 pro fights, I would say. It's a superb matchup for Cage Warriors because what they've done with Jack is they've just, every single step has been a more and more difficult fight. And, you know, every single time he's, well, certainly like the last time, completely proved me wrong. I said he was going to get beaten and he put in a world-class performance. I'm going to call against him again today. I think that Scott Malone has got something that a lot of people haven't really seen. He's really underestimated. He's got supreme confidence in himself. There's no real pressure on him going into this fight either because, you know, he's lost in his career. He's lost as an amateur. He's lost to Aidan Stephen. He's lost as a pro. His first pro fight, he lost. So, the weight of expectation isn't on him. It's 100% on young Jack Shaw's shoulders. So, yeah, I think Scott could shock the world. There's a lot of good fighters coming out of Scotland at the moment. Obviously, you've got Ross Houston sitting at the top of the welterweight division. You know, I've already mentioned Aidan Stephen, who is an absolute terror. And he's going to be another one I can see Cage Warriors building. So Malone, I'll call it completely. Malone, second round TKO, ground and pound.
Oh, wow. There you go. Very bold.
Completely bold.
Yeah, fair play. I appreciate a bold prediction, Chris. So well done.
I'm going to look like an absolute dickhead when this goes wrong as well, aren't I? So.
No, we like your different people's opinions, mate. So, yeah, that's a bold opinion. But again, we'll wait and see what happens in the fight. Katie, what's your take? Jack Shaw, Scott Malone, how do you see it going? What's your prediction for the fight?
So I picked against Jack also for Cage Warriors 100. Obviously, I know Mike Ekindayo well and knew his strengths. And I just thought his wrestling was going to be too much for Jack. And to see the way that Jack not only dismantled him, but kind of beat him a little bit at his own game, I thought he looked sensational in that fight. And I thought he really, really made a statement. And I just think he's got such a great team around him and he's been pushed all the way through at the right pace and exactly what Chris said, like just a step up in opponent every time. And I just think that his career has like been playing out perfectly due to, you know, the great people around him and the great game planning. And ultimately, I just think he's too strong for anyone that Cage Warriors can put in front of him. And I personally think he's ready for the UFC. But I also really respect what they're doing in holding him back and being 100% sure that he's ready for it. But I know that Scott's got a lot of skills and a lot of tools in his toolkit. I don't know. I just think Jack's going to be too strong.
Yeah, so you're going Jack Shaw, yeah?
I'm going Jack Shaw.
Any method or anything specific you can predict for us?
I do think it would be a really tough fight. I wouldn't be surprised if it went to a decision, but I think it will be a unanimous decision.
Yeah. So for me, I would agree with that. I think leading up to this one, I agree with what Chris said as well. I think the pressure is on Jack Shaw, but my take on it is the pressure, the last three or four fights has all been on Jack Shaw. I think he just seems to thrive off it. You know, there's some fighters, yeah. You know, like you have McGregor, he has all that pressure. He has the pressure of a country on his shoulders and he rises to it. And I think that's what Jack Shaw does. I think he takes that pressure and it makes him better on the night. So for me, I'm going to go for Jack Shaw in this one. I want to start off by just saying how good Scott Malone has been in his career, because not only is he a great fighter, he's a really, really nice guy. I've interviewed him after his last few fights. And you know, he's actually very similar to Jack in that way. They're very humble, very down-to-earth, blue-collar kind of guys. So it's very refreshing and they're very respectful towards each other, which is nice as well. So big, big respect for Scott Malone. With this one, I just think the reason I'm going for Jack Shaw is I think for this fight, it's going to come down to who has the best plan B. I think if you look at Scott's plan A, he comes out, like Chris said, very aggressive when he grabs all you, takes you down. He's got that, you know, that great judo background. We've seen against Josh Reed, his ability to, you know, the judo trick, throw you down, get into the armbar. He's definitely got great abilities there. And that's his plan A. With Jack Shaw, similar. He likes to take you down, ground and pound, and then either get a TKO or a sub. So their plan A is going to be quite similar. I think they're going to meet in the middle, feed each other out for a little bit. I think whoever has the plan, when it kind of, I guess, a stalemate, which I think it might be in the grappling department, I think that's going to come down to who has that best plan B. And I think from what I've seen from Jack Shaw, you know, you look at his fight with Von Lee, the Italian guy he knocked out with a knee as well. I think Jack has a more versatile skill set in the striking range. I think that's what he's going to use. Something that stood out for me when he made his bantamweight debut against Von Lee was that the very first couple of minutes of the first round, Jack wasn't able to get Von Lee down. Von Lee was very, very fresh, very sharp on his takedown defense. And you could see the moment where he kind of said, okay, I'll stop chasing this and I'll just start striking. I'll just start picking you apart and start picking up the rounds. And it wasn't until later when Von Lee realized he was losing the rounds that then he opened up and then Jack Shaw got the takedown. So that's why I think it's going to be the difference. I think Jack is a little bit more well-rounded in terms of the striking. And I think I think when they planned A's a stalemate early on, I think that's when Jack is going to be versatile and able to grind a win. I think it's going to be a decision. I think it's going to be a unanimous decision, Jack Shaw, or potentially we may see a late stoppage from Shaw. Like I said, he's got a really good striking background, Jack Shaw. He's known as a grappler, but I know he's got a great Muay Thai coach. He works a lot with Gary Lockett boxing. I see on his Instagram all the time he's down there boxing. So he's not had to go with striking too much, but I believe those skills are going to be there, and I think that's going to be the difference on the night. So I'm going to go for Jack Shaw. I'm going to say a decision, but potentially a late stoppage. So that's my prediction for that one. And
Do you reckon that Malone will put Shaw on his back at any point? Because that's something that I expected Ekindayo to do, but he just couldn't get near.
No, couldn't.
Yeah, he did get. I think Ekindayo did get Jack down briefly, but Jack swept him and got back on top.
Yeah, it was really momentary. Yeah, it was. Yeah. There was certainly no control on top, which is something, you know, with Malone. You see, he takes people down, and immediately as he's taking them down, he's transitioning to side control. Literally, it seems to be in midair. It seems to be one of his key moves. Now, it'd be really interesting to see whether, you know, obviously Jack and training under Shaky, they've been practicing drilling that day in, day out since the moment that the fight was first mooted to them. But it'd be interesting to see whether they can actually stop that, because so many people would have trained that. You know, Adam Amazinga would have trained that. He's training with his brother Dean, who, you know, people fly Dean out to. Oh, hello. You all right? How you doing?
There we go.
That's better. I can see you now.
Is James Allen? James. What's your prediction for
my fellow Scott?
Jack Scott Lumbly, have you seen him?
I'm actually driving, so I won't be looking directly at the camera. I'm not going to make it home in time to join, so I figured I'd just cruise home and do it this way.
Yeah, we appreciate you coming, buddy. Where are you coming from tonight?
I was at Frankie's picking something up.
That sounds so dodgy.
Yeah, I know, it sounds like
a club steal. Yeah. And then I was looking at a studio.
Okay to be on air, mate?
I'm fine, mate, because I'm not even looking at you. I'm just literally looking at the road and talking.
No, but we don't want to do anything incriminating you. That's what I'm thinking.
I'm pretty sure this is all right. I'm not looking at you. It's just like speakerphone.
Yeah. Well, James, just in time, buddy. We've come to a 2-1 at the moment. I'm picking Jack Shaw. Katie's picking Jack Shaw. Chris is going for a Scott Malone victory. Let's hear your thoughts on this one. Main event, Cage Warriors 104, Scott Malone, Jack Shaw.
It's a great fight. That is a really, really good fight. Jack Shaw's obviously been well on fire. He's been improving every fight, Jack. I think he definitely deserves to be where he is, and he's got a massive future in the UFC as well, I think. I think probably Scott Malone's maybe getting slightly overlooked in this one. Not necessarily by MD on here, but obviously social media and stuff like that. The thing about Scott as well, obviously we know he's a fantastic grappler, his judo background. But I don't think we've actually seen the best Scott Malone in Cage Warriors yet. I think Scott's strength is definitely improving. I think that's where actually, because I've got a feeling we might see a bit of a stalemate in the grappling, because both of them like to initiate that grapple and get on top and win the game. So I think it might end up being on the feet. I'm picking Scott Malone, which is no shock, let's be honest. It's probably a bit shocking as you're picking Jack Shaw. I know we're media, we're not supposed to be biased, but let's be honest, there is a slight bias in it from me and Drew Lewis.
Yeah, of course.
But I think Scott's going to surprise everybody down there, and I think it's going to be a difficult night for him. I think it will go to a decision, but I fancy Scott for it. But he's certainly going to have to work for it. I think it's definitely Scott's toughest fight and Jack's toughest fight today. Yeah. Now, the other thing as well is Jack has been getting tougher opponents every time, and he has been rising to the challenge, which definitely makes this difficult because We don't know how much improvements we're going to see for Jack. Just from what I sort of know about Scott, I know how hard he's working for this, and obviously I think he'll take the fight. I definitely think it'll be a decision, though. I don't think we're going to see a finish in this, personally, myself.
Yeah, I agree with what you said, James. This is why I said just moments ago. I think they're both such good grapplers and they're both so physically strong. I think it will end up playing out largely on the feet. And that's, you talk about improvements, I think that's the area that Jack will improve most since his last fight, is his striking. I think, you know, I take nothing away from Scott, because we've seen against Amasinger that he's got knockout power at top level. So, you know, it's definitely a dangerous matchup. I just think the pedigree of striking coaching Jack has, you know, as I said, Gary Lockett, the Terlea combat has a guy called Crew Hem at the moment, and he comes from AKA in Thailand, I believe. He's a very, very good Thai boxer. So I think that there's going to be a bit more skills in the stand-up for Jack, and that's why I see him either getting a late stoppage potentially, or just being able to outstrike him and pick up the rounds for the decision. So it's a very, very hard matchup though, isn't it?
It definitely is. For both guys, it's going to be a really difficult night. And like, to be completely honest, taking away me being Scottish now, I mean, the fight could, in my opinion, it could go either way. I feel it's going to go Scott's way, but I think maybe some people from the outside looking in probably think Jack's going to win, and maybe from what I've seen on social media comfortably, I don't think that's the case. But obviously Scott's definitely putting the work in up here. There's a lot of good gyms for Scott to go and train at. I know he's been at a few, and obviously spent time out in Sacramento. Not necessarily that. For this camp, I'm not 100% sure, but he's been out here quite a lot, and obviously we know they're known for their wrestling, but there's a lot of good strikers out there as well.
Yeah. And Chris, how much do you think that's going to factor into this, that he's out training in Sacramento with Team Alpha Male? If you think it'll factor into it at all?
Nah, do you know what? I don't. It depends on what attention he would be getting from that gym. You hear quite a few fighters who they start to hit the upper echelons of the European scene, or they move on to the bottom end of the global scene, and they go out to America because they think that's the best place for them to go. And Leon Edwards is a real proponent of it. The last time he lost, he went out to America, and he said he didn't get the attention that he needed in the gym. He wasn't really fully prepared for his fight. From that point onwards, he's just stayed in Birmingham with his team at Renegade. And yeah. He's gone on a 7-fight tear since. If Scott has gone out there, I really hope he's got the attention that he deserves, because this is a huge opportunity for him. This could be literally the making of his entire career. So I would hope that if he's gone out there, you know, the guys at Team Alpha Male are giving him the attention that Corey McKenna was saying that she was getting in her interview with yeah. Katie the other day. You know, it could make a huge difference to him in that sense.
You're so right. Like she has like one-to-ones with Uriah every morning before training and stuff. Like, it is different for different fighters, because I know Brad at ATT, he had that kind of, he was kind of in the inner circle and getting that attention from the coaches the whole way through. But somebody like Mark Diakese did exactly the same and came home, because he just never... Like, there's something like 70 pros on the mat, like, any one time. So you're so right. If you're not getting that one-to-one attention, then you're better off, just because it's not the big name in the States, like, you're better off getting that, like, personal touch, as long as you're at a good gym here, I think.
And then on the other hand, you've got Jack, who's able to build a camp around himself at Clear Combat, you know?
Yeah.
And bring in loads of Brett Johns and Aiden Lee.
What's different? What's different for Corey is she goes out there because there's so many little girls, like, girls of own weight. Girls of own weight.
But just
so, you know, just because you're picking up the techniques, yeah. And she's got all of that there, I'm sure if she had some sparring partners that were around her weight class, because I know when she's here, she's also training with the best girls in the UK as well. I know her and Molly have trained, and she's trained with a load of girls here. But I think it's just, you know, Cynthia Carvalho's out there, and just there's a lot of girls. Sarah McMahon, she's always training with. So for her, it's the high level training partners, her weight.
Yeah. So Katie, I know obviously we'll jump a few down the card now. Just to recap now, that's 2-2. So James and Chris are going for Scott Malone in this one, and myself and Katie's going for Jack Shaw. So the losers by the beers for that one. 2-2 from MMA UK staff for Jack Shaw and Scott Malone.
Before we move on, Lewis, sorry. Both from Frankie. Oh, no, three comments, sorry.
Okay.
James, are you able to turn your phone sideways? Or is it just like that in the car?
The answer is absolutely not. I'm doing 70 mile on the motorway. I can't even.
You can tell that to Frankie. You said you were picking up a tripod. It's a lot more boring than we thought it was. And Peter says Malone by decision.
Was that Peter? Is that Peter Knox saying that?
Yeah.
He doesn't count tonight. He refused to come on, so he doesn't. His opinion doesn't count. 2-2. But yeah, we'll jump down the card now. It means you were talking about Corey McKenna, Kate, because she's also going to be on this card. She's going to be facing Fanny Redmond. She's going to be the second fight out on the main card, I believe. Obviously, now she's 2-1. Fanny Redmond is 1-0. What's your take on this fight, and how do you see Corey getting on in this matchup?
It's difficult for me to say because I don't really know her opponent at all, and I couldn't even get hold of any footage of her. But I know that she's... Her two amateur fights were at IMAF that she won, and she's had one pro fight. All I would say about Corey is she's an absolute beast, and I think she was really unlucky in the decision in her last fight. I didn't agree with any of the judges, actually. One of the judges had all three rounds to Corey, and I didn't think that was right either. I thought she won it 2-1, but to me, she's still unbeaten. She's done another camp at Team Alpha Male. She is getting that attention that we just spoke about. Her wrestling is so strong. She's got nasty elbows on the ground. Like, she looks like an angel, but she can throw those elbows. And without knowing her opponent, I just can't see anything other than a Corey McKenna win. And I think whoever you put in front of her, everybody in her team, and I respect all of their opinions so much, you know, all of the coaches that she works with, Jack Mason, obviously Shaky and Uriah Faber, they all think she's going to be a UFC champ. And I wouldn't argue with any of those guys. So I just see her, you know, getting over that blip. One thing I will say is she's probably a bit nervous of a judge's decision now. So I do see it being a stoppage by her.
Yeah. And I mean, it was a great fight last time. I tend to agree. I think it was a close matchup. I did score the fight to her last time. But, you know, Uncle Dana always says, don't leave it in the hands of the judges. And it was a close fight. I thought I gave it to her purely on the takedowns. I thought it was a very 50-50 back and forth with a striking, but she landed the takedown. So that for me meant I gave her the win, but it was close. I think she is going to try and look for a finish this time also. I'm going to agree with you, Kate. I'm also going to go for a Corey McKenna win. A question I had for James, because this was something I was talking about the other day, was about, you know, with female fighting right now, particularly in the UK, it can be a very steep kind of progression. You can win a fight and then your next fight you're facing a much more experienced opponent. Do you think that's a benefit or a negative going forward in this division like that, James?
It's a negative, I believe. I mean, it's just comes simply down to the fact there's not enough bodies. It'd be better if there were a lot more women doing it and competing at that high level. It just means you can test yourself against different styles, and sometimes you do need, in the women's division in the UK, you need to make big jumps. There's no in between. You don't get that opportunity, especially through amateur and into early pros. You don't get that opportunity to build and test yourself continuously. So I think it would be, if we had more women competing, more women doing it, I think it would ultimately benefit the women's side of things. It's kind of like it's, I guess it's like male MMA, men's MMA was a while ago. It's a similar situation. But hopefully with girls like Corey McKenna and other girls in the UK doing it, it's spurring more ladies to jump in the gym and join and compete.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's the thing. I do fully expect Corey to go and win this fight. You know, her opponent, I don't know much about her, like Katie said, but she seems to have a strong amateur background. She's 1-0. But then if Corey wins this one, it's a big step up to potentially, you know, a title contender fight or even a title match itself. So it can be a big jump.
The thing with the last fight, and I hate that saying, don't leave it in the hands of the judges. A professional fighter should be confident enough to know that the judges know what they're looking at. can score a point early. But ultimately, I think that loss could potentially spur Corey on and make her a better fighter ultimately for it. How many fighters do we see get a loss, and maybe unfairly so, and it improves them dramatically as a fighter? So potentially we could see for Corey in her next fight.
Yeah, and Chris, Corey McKenna fighting Redmond, a big matchup for Corey in Cardiff. You know, a lot of fans will be there. What's your take on this matchup, and how do you see her doing?
Sorry, did you ask me then? Because you just cut off.
What's your take on the Corey McKenna matchup with Fanny Redmond, Chris?
Okay, well, pretty much echoing what you guys are saying in all aspects. Fanny has not been active at all. She's had a record shows 2 amateur wins, 1 professional win. The 2 amateur wins both coming in 2017 in the European IMAFs. One of them against one of the girls who I manage, Anna Rasvik. Now, Anna, I think that was her second fight, and Anna ended up being 8-2 as an amateur before turning pro, on the same card actually that Fanny turned pro as well. Corey's been incredibly active during that period, and that momentum makes a huge difference. And exactly as you guys have been saying, you know, who she's been training with, the likes of, you know, Jack Mason, Richard Shaw, Uriah Faber, the experience that they're giving her will just stand her in good stead. She certainly is one amazing prospect for the future. I wanted to go back to something that James was saying as well, actually, saying about how women in the UK struggle to get fights. I think you could probably broaden that spectrum to women across Europe. As I said, I manage Anna Rasvik. I also manage Marlon Hermansson, who has been signed to Bellator. And trying to find fights for these two is certainly the hardest thing, the hardest task that I've got. You know, the fact that they're both based in Sweden has been difficult anyway. But the women's MMA market is absolutely minuscule across Europe. It's pretty much like men's heavyweight is outside of Eastern Europe. You know, there's just no one there. A couple of wins and all of a sudden you're at the top of a division, and you've gone from fighting on a show in a sports hall in front of 200 people to being on the cusp of being signed for a major organisation. And that it takes a special type of person to be able to handle that. But bringing it back to what we were talking about with this matchup, I think Corey McKenna is going to be that type of person. She speaks really, really well. That interview with Katie, if anyone watching, if they've not watched it, one of the best interviews I've seen us do, actually. I thought it was really, really good. Corey spoke brilliantly. The interview just flowed really well. She just comes across as a really intelligent, diligent, hardworking, and rightly confident young athlete. And I think this could be the making of her. She'll go in against, you know, Swedes are tough opponents. So she'll go in and if she showcases her skill set, this could lead on to bigger and better things for her, certainly.
Yeah, fingers crossed. So I think that's 4 yeses for Corey McKenna from the MMA UK staff then.
One thing I want to say about Cage Warriors as well, actually, whilst we're talking about, so we've spoken about Corey, we've spoken about the Scots. Cage Warriors have really made a niche for themselves. A couple of shows ago, we were talking about the potential that they could be under a fair amount of competition with Bellator Europe coming in and being able to outclass them financially, certainly when it comes to the rewards that they can provide for fighters. Cage Warriors have been very clever in reinventing their model, essentially. They've got some amazing young fighters that they're building up from the provinces. So, you know, you've got your Malones, your Houstons, and your Stephen from Scotland. You've got Shaw, Mason Jones, and Corey McKenna from Wales. These guys have all made their name on Cage Warriors, and Cage Warriors have just sculpted their careers. No gimmies whatsoever. They've just given them tougher and tougher fights, but they've helped to actually build them as stars as well.
Yeah.
And they've created this niche in the market for themselves. And whilst Cage Warriors, you know, let's be honest, they've lost Ireland. Irish MMA in the main is SSBG. SBG have got a hell of a lot of offshoots as well. Although Chris Fields has just stopped being SBG Swords. He's just set up alone as, I think, KC Gym. Oh, sorry, no, KF Gym, hasn't he? Which could open the door for Cage Warriors, I suppose. But, you know, Ireland was their big thing. It's England and Ireland, very much so. But whereas now I think that they're creating these stars in Wales, that they've sewn up the Welsh market and they've found these absolute gems. It appears that they're doing the same with Scotland as well. And if they start having shows up in Scotland as well, I can see them taking over that area as well.
Yeah,
can I say something quickly about Scotland? what Cage Warriors have done in Wales and that is great. I don't think for a minute Cage Warriors have shown up Scotland at all. I think if anything, they've not done enough in Scotland. Not even close to being enough.
They need to have shows up there. That's what it is. They've got the fighters now. They've picked some absolutely superb young talents, and they're helping them create their own names, aren't they?
Well, see, I would kind of slightly again disagree with that, because with regards to young talent, I know how much young talent's up here and how good a Cage Warriors Academy could be up here, and that's just not being used at the moment. So I feel they're missing a trick in Scotland. They've got some good guys in Scotland on 100%, but there's a lot of young guys that could be really used on Cage Warriors Academy shows. I still think they're missing a trick in Scotland. So, plus, that's my thoughts on it. I don't think they're doing enough in Scotland, in my opinion. I know they've got guys like Malone and that in, but I still think they should really be doing more up here.
There's a big appetite for it up there at the moment in that part of the world, James, isn't there?
100%. We've not got enough up here. There's talent in it. There's a lot of good gyms in Scotland at the moment, more than there's ever been. There's a lot of young talent. I won't run through a list of names, but I show like even a Cage Warriors Academy would go a long way up here, which we've not seen. Out with the USC shows that have been up here, I know Bellator have said they're going to come, but that doesn't really so much push the younger guys that are coming through. A Cage Warriors Academy show is what I would really like to see up here, ultimately a Cage Warriors show, but the Cage Warriors Academy would be a great start.
Yeah.
I think you'd see a lot of good Scottish fighters, young guys, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, well, Katie was at one on the weekend in the Academy show, so we'll circle back to this at the end, and we'll talk a bit more about the Academy shows, I think. But I want to get on to the next fight now on this one, because we've still got three to get through. Co-main event of the evening is going to be Tom Kong Watson, obviously a veteran in the sport, making his return to the cage against Wales' Aaron Khalid. Katie, I'll come to you first for this one. Aaron Khalid's been on a bit of a run. How do you see him going in this matchup with Tom Watson?
Well, as far as I can tell, Tom Watson hasn't fought since 2015. He's obviously not got age on his side. And Khalid, since he's lost to Ross Houston twice, has just looked like a beast. I think it's pretty unfair to throw Watson in there with him this early on in his Cage Warriors debut. I don't know. I obviously haven't seen what Tom Watson's looking like in the gym, but it looks like it could be a bit of a mismatch. I'd be quite surprised if Khalid doesn't finish him.
Yeah. Chris, thoughts on that?
Well, Katie's right. Tom hasn't fought since 2015 in the UFC. Aaron's fought three times in the last 5 months of last year, with three victories. If you're looking on paper, the level of opponent the two guys have faced, obviously Tom Kong Watson's fought some absolute legends in the sport, but that was then, and you know this very much is now. And as I said before, momentum makes a huge difference. Watson's as tough as nails. You've seen some amazing wars with him. You know, you go back to that pre-UFC days. His Alex Reed fight is probably one of the best fights in UK MMA history.
Yeah.
And he's durable. He's tough, but he's getting older. You know, and as you get older, things slow down. I know. You know, he's not quite as old as me. He's not over 40. He's what, 36, 37, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he's going to be 37 in July.
You know, and he's been in a hell of a lot of wars, so it'll be interesting to see what miles he's got on the clock. But I think Khalid will win. I think Khalid will probably take him down and dominate him on the ground, unfortunately, which is a shame, you know, because I don't like to see that with one of the pioneers of UK MMA.
Yeah, I agree with you, Chris. I think I'm going to go for Aaron Khalid by submission in this one. He's looked so good on the ground in the last couple of matchups, and that's why I think that's going to be the telling difference in this fight. I forgot to mention this, but Cage Warriors put on an open workout down in near Cardiff the other day, where they had all the Welsh guys there. We got to watch them all work out, hit the pads. and we got all interview with them all. It was a really good event. And Aaron Khalid looked very, very sharp. He looked very fit, very lean. But in the same time, he looked a little bit bigger as well. So Aaron looks really good. He's very, very confident. And after a couple of years out, because that's the thing as well, the sport of MMA is constantly evolving, constantly changing. Like, a couple of years off and the game has evolved. And even at the Cage Warriors level now, these guys are just so much better than what they were a few years ago. I think that could catch up to Tom Watson. And on the night, I'm expecting Khalid to get a submission, if I'm honest. James, I mean, what's your thoughts on that? How do you feel, first of all, the time off will affect him? And what's your prediction for this one?
I don't really think I can add much more to what he's already said. I think 4 years out at Tom's age, because we've not really seen anything, he's not competed in that long. And 4 years is a lifetime in MMA, especially when you're in your 30s. It's a long, long time. And you've got to look, you really have got to just look at what Aaron's done recently. Out with those losses to Houston, who's a beast himself. He's looked fantastic. And I saw him hitting the bag and stuff like that down when you were at the media day, and he looked really good. And I would imagine just the name Tom Watson's a name that's going to get him up for it, because it's a great name to have in your record. But 4 years out for Tom, at his age, with the wars he's had, are we going to see a better Tom Watson come back than we've seen previously? I don't think so. So I think it's going to be a tough night for Tom, potentially a short night as well.
Yeah, and in Cardiff as well, Aaron's hometown. Yeah. He's definitely motivated to get a win in front of a lot of home fans, I would think. So
yeah, I don't want to sound disrespectful or anything like that, but Fallow's time is a bitch and you can't outrun it.
Well,
sorry, but it is. Again, like I say, 4 years out of MMA is a lifetime almost. So yeah, it's going to be difficult for Tom, I think.
Four picks for Khalid there then, I think. So nice to see the MMA UK staff agreeing on some picks, I think, this evening.
Do you not think it's very, very hard to pick for Tom in this one? But because he's been out for so long, you've not seen anything. Obviously, we're not. It's very, very hard to pick for him.
Well, it didn't help was the signing. He signed for Bama, didn't he? And he was their big announcement. And then Bama went on their seemingly permanent sabbatical, which just left him on the shelf for even longer. If he'd managed to get...
Bama or Bellator there?
No, Bama. He signed for Bama.
Ah, that was a bit of a joke, by the way.
Sorry.
Come on.
Sorry, I didn't pick up on your Scottish humour.
Me either.
The thing is, as well, with Khalid, he's only the only person we've seen really lose to over the last couple of years has been Ross Houston. And it was two fights where the one he took on like 4 days' notice, and he hung in there right until the end, proved how tough he was. And the other one, he just lost. He just came up short in all areas on the night. But again, he's improved a lot since that fight. I think that those fights with Ross Houston were the best things that could have happened to him, because it motivated him. He learned a lot. And, you know, like James said, it's a big name for him to take, a great name to have on his record. And, you know, I wouldn't sleep on Khalid for being up there with a title shot soon if he keeps on the way he's going.
Yeah.
And Khalid's done what a fighter should do after a loss. It looks like he's improved. He's looked at his game and he just seems to have come back better. And that, as a fighter, that's what you need to do, I think, when you've lost fights. Not take it as a negative, and it's improved him, I think, overall.
Yeah, completely agree. It's a shame they've not gone with King Kong marketing with this now, isn't it? It shows the power of Jack Shaw, though.
Yeah. That takes us on to the next fight then. Third from the top is Mason Jones versus Donovan Desme. A battle of two strikers there. Mason Jones, obviously, another gem, as Chris referred to, coming out of Wales at the moment. A lot of talented guys coming from here. So he's just another one in the long line of them. Mason Jones, big name for us. Chris, I'll come to you first for this one. How do you see this one going? Mason Jones, Donovan Desme.
As the two strikers, you can't ever be too certain in your picks. So if Cage Warriors have got a card, have got a betting card, then I wouldn't actually put money on this one. I would always err towards Mason Jones. You know, he's a super talented guy. He's just so dynamic, and he's one of those young lads that I think is just going to go places. But he does allow himself to get hit sometimes through overexuberance. And if you get caught by Donovan Desme, you can be stopped. You know, all it takes is one decent shot. His last win was a doctor stoppage. So, you know, the guy's got power in his hands. It's not going to be an easy win. Another example of how Cage Warriors are building these young stars and giving them tougher and tougher fights. But realistically, if I've got to make a choice, it's got to be Mason Jones. I think Mason Jones will probably stop Des May first couple of rounds.
Yeah, Mason Jones there for Chris Tenner. He has looked very impressive, I will say that, in his last few fights. And I know, obviously, again, from interviewing him a few times and being down at the open workouts, he's very, very dedicated. He trains full-time, you know, three sessions a day. He travels, obviously. And another Welsh guy that goes over to Team Alpha Male. Another person who's over there. A lot of people seem to be there at the moment. He really is putting in the work. So for this one, I'll jump straight in and give my prediction. I'm going to go for a third-round TKO for Mason Jones. I think he's tough. I think he's durable. I think he loves to fight more than anything. You know, he loves being in a scrap. And I think he's got the skills to get this done. I think it's, like Chris said, it can either way end up being a knockout or someone getting clipped. But I think on likelihood, I'm more, not because I'm Welsh, obviously.
Whatever.
I'm going for Mason Jones on this one. Round three TKO. Over to you, Katie. What's your predictions on this one?
Well, I will admit that mine isn't a very informed opinion because I don't know Donovan Desmay very well at all. He's obviously got more experience than Mason Jones. Everything I've seen about Mason has just been exactly the sort of fighter that I like to see. He's really exciting to watch and he doesn't mind taking damage, which is his own corner probably don't appreciate that much, but it makes for, like, really epic fights. And I just really enjoy watching him fight. So I'm going to pick him, but I will caveat that and say that I don't really know Donovan at all. So, the only time I've picked against Mason is when he was fighting one of my teammates, who, unfortunately, for me, he beat. But he even picked up some damage in that fight. So that's the one thing I would say, you know, just to be cautious about. He doesn't mind leaving himself open when he's...
Are we talking about Craig Edwards for the people at home, right?
Sorry?
We're talking about Craig Edwards for the...
We are.
The thing with Donovan is he is so inconsistent. He's 3-3 in his last six. So it's such a difficult fight for you to quantify, because if you get the best of him, it could be a bad night for Mason. But if you don't, and if he's not at his best, the way that Mason's been performing, realistically, you'd have to say that Mason would win.
Yeah, Mason as well is something that I noticed. He's very, very intelligent about the way he approaches fights. He's very tactical. He's got a great team that he listens to, and I think that goes a long way. You know, he doesn't just come in just to see how it goes. You know, he prepares well. He looks at his opponents. He was meant to fight in the last Cardiff card, and he purposely took a little bit of a rest time, not from training, but from fighting, to kind of give his body a bit of time to heal. So I think he's definitely got an intelligence there. He's not just, I know he does perform very entertaining fights, and that's why he's building up such a big following, but he's not just coming in just to brawl. You know, he's very tactical. He's also a brown belt in jiu-jitsu, which not a lot of people know. You know, he's spent a lot of time on the mat. He's got his brown belt, so if it does go there, that's something we've not seen huge amounts of his ground game. So that's another element that if he does get hurt, who knows if we're going to see him, you know, switch tactics and try and go for a submission. You know, there's a lot of layers to his game. And I'm very much looking forward to seeing Mason, and not just seeing this fight, but seeing how far he can take it, because I genuinely believe that he's got something about him that he can sort of replicate what Jack Shaw's done and go out, get a cage for his belt and hopefully progress onto the UFC. So...
He's got a great personality as well. He always comes over really well. I love the interview he did with you in his pub. And he's really respectful as well of, like, obviously he beat Craig. He sent Craig a good luck message before, like, his fight on Saturday.
Yeah.
He's just, like, he's commented on a few of the interviews I've done with Craig. He just comes across as, like, a really great lad.
Yeah. One thing I want to say as well, when we actually, me and my friend Dan, who comes with me to do the interviews, we're going over to his pub in a place called Blenavon, which is, Mason described as a passionate town. We were going over and we were saying, like, how great would this be if we got on camera, like, Mason lobbing someone out of the pub, like, how do we get through that again? We got to get in here and see that. Unfortunately, there was no one there when we got there. It was like a Tuesday night, but yeah, that was. We were secretly kind of hoping that we might get to see him. Like,
I thought you had a lock-in. There was really no one there.
No, it wasn't. Yeah, it's a very, very small town. It's kind of at the Waverley Avenue where he lives, but they're a very tight-knit community. They all get behind each other, and you can guarantee there'll be a lot of them behind him down Cardiff. And, you know, like I said, it's not just that he put on entertaining fights, but he's a nice guy. People can relate to him. Same as Jack Shaw. And with Wales, these kind of little communities, I think that's why you're seeing so many people come out and support MMA now at the moment, particularly, like, back to what Chris said, you know, Cage Warriors really are targeting the region as well, and I think that's a prime example of that. So, yeah, I think we didn't get to see James Hamilton. I don't know if he's... hopefully he hasn't crashed his car or anything. I don't know.
No, parked his screen went blank, so he's left a call. I don't know if he's going to try and rejoin us, but...
Yeah, James Hamilton, hopefully you're going to rejoin us. If not, buddy, don't worry. Just glad you got home safely, mate. And we'll put that down as a Mason Jones prediction for James as well. Yeah. So that's on to our next fight then. And last fight of the main card, which is Jamie Richardson and Phil Wells. Now, I was a little bit unsure about the matchmaking for this one, Katie. What's your thoughts? If you want to describe to the people what we were thinking earlier before we came on air.
So I was covering Cage Warriors 99 in Colchester for MMA UK, where their first fight took place. And it's strange to me that they would rematch them straight away, purely because I feel like rematches tend to be when there's a contentious decision or when someone gets caught and you feel like it would go a different way the second time. But Richardson looked in control the whole way through that fight. And, you know, the only time Phil Wells looked like he had anything was when he had hold of the leg and he was trying to get something, but it was never on. And he had a nasty split on his lip from the lip almost up to his nose. And I'm just surprised. I don't know, that welterweight division looks pretty deep at the moment. And I just think that there could be other people for those guys to fight. It just seemed a strange one to rematch straight away to me. What did you think?
I'm similar. I mean, obviously, for people who didn't know, Jamie got the victory there. He got a stoppage over Phil with a TKO.
Yeah.
I think he went for like a heel hook or something, and then he came on top and just pounded him out. So it was a fair stoppage, a fair win. Again, unless there's, you know, strange circumstances, I don't see why they do make matches like that straight away, rematches. Unless it, like you said, it's a deep division, but all the top guys are matched up and these are the only two that's available to go for it. So perhaps it could be something like that.
I think so.
Go on, Chris, sorry.
I think you're right. I was just going to say, I think you're right, because you look at the other people who are available, who are in the welterweight division. You've got the likes of Nathan Jones, who we were talking about earlier. Got Alex Lahore. They're not right for Jamie Richardson at this point in his career. They're way, way too experienced for Jamie.
Yeah.
So if you want to keep Jamie active, okay, I suppose the answer would be to rerun something that he's already done, just to make sure that it wasn't a lucky victory, because Phil Wells has got quite a bit more experience on him as well. So, I don't think there's any huge harm in it. It's on paper, 100% agree. You look at it and you think, why? Because, you know, Jamie dominated that. But if he wants to fight and he needs to fight, and he is another one of those young guys that I think Cage Warriors have started to nurture, just to keep that momentum going, give him a matchup, give him a fight, and just let him keep going and just get that a bit more cage experience and a bit more cage time. And before you know it, he could be fighting the upper echelons of the UK scene.
Yeah, and Jamie's a good foreman as well. I watched him fight back last year up in London in the O2, and he had a really, really good following. So he's definitely a guy who's got a lot of potential, and, you know, his striking's on point. I think if he works, you know, to improve his ground game, he's going to be a real prospect in the future. So, yeah, I would agree with those comments. Chris, can we get a prediction from you for this fight? Because that's one thing none of us have done yet.
Jamie Richardson. TKO, because Jamie just loves banging, doesn't he? He just loves going swinging for the fences.
Yeah.
Do you also think it's a bit odd that it's on this card when London's coming up?
It depends on the availability of the fighters, I suppose. It depends on what they've got for London as well.
The whole thing just seems a little bit just odd to me.
It seems like a bit of a last minute one, but
yeah, like a filler almost. Yeah. And no offence to both the fighters, because you know, I'll happily watch that fight again. But I don't know, it doesn't seem like a lot of thought got put into the matchmaking or the card. But
yeah,
the thing is, isn't it? They've got plenty of pro prelims that they could have pushed up. They could have pushed up Chris Edwards, Josh Reed, now Oban Elliott, and Ben Ellis, both fighting on the card as well. Those two kids are, you know, not against each other, but both on the card. Those two kids are absolute dynamite, you know, and they're two of the new breed of Welsh fighters coming through. Say new breed, when you've got Shaw, who's like 12 years old, and Mason Jones, who's only about 11 himself. But, you know, these other two are the next layer coming through.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, like Katie said, I'm still going to watch it. I'm still going to enjoy it. For me, I'm going to pick Jamie Richardson in this fight. I think from what we saw in the first match, I think he only would have improved, and I see a similar ending to last time. So I'm going to go Jamie Richardson. Katie, what was your pick for that one?
Jamie as well. I think I'm going to go with round one TKO, possibly round two, but I'll go round one.
Yeah, like I said, I'm looking forward to that fight. I think it is a good fight. I think what we're trying to say is it's just a bit of a random one for the card, isn't it? But what do we know? You know, we're just MMA UK staff.
It'd probably be fight of the night now, won't it?
But it'd be good to see the momentum get back to build back against Jamie again, though, because those losses he had to Khalid and who's the other one he lost to? Got it.
Can't think off the top of my head.
I
know he beat Hack on Foss, but
he did, because that was that win against Hack, Sam Bolt. So he lost to Sam Bolt, and then he lost to Aaron Khalid, and that really did slow that momentum. And okay, he had that great win against Phil Wells, but you know, to get that a couple of wins under his belt, getting back going again, we could see Jamie Richardson's rise continue. Yeah.
And he's a very nice guy as well. So both guys. So hopefully a good fight, and kick the main card off in style. That is the last of the predictions for the main card. But like Chris touched on, there's some other massive fights on this card. We've got Chris Edwards coming back again, obviously a Cage Warriors veteran at this time, a really popular fighter down here. So we're going to look forward to watching him. Katie's favourite, Josh Reed, is going to be fighting DePap, a guy that actually Jack Shaw has beat. Jack Shaw beat him. Yeah. So again, like he'll have a little bit of inside knowledge on that. Looking forward to seeing the Crazy Horse back in there, Katie.
Oh, I can't wait. I absolutely can't wait. I adore watching him fight. I don't know much about DePap either, but...
makes nice wine.
What's that?
Makes nice wine.
Yeah. Got a great chateau.
Yeah.
It was amazing to see Josh get his mojo back in his last fight. And I can't wait to see him go on a tear now. Hope that he goes in there super confident, and I've got, you know, nothing but high hopes for this one.
Yeah. Yeah, we can't wait for that fight.
And I just love seeing him on telly, Lewis.
At least you're honest, Katie. At least you're honest. You know?
Before we leave this card, though, can I give a shout-out to one of the amateurs?
Yeah, definitely. I wanted to talk about a couple of the amateurs, so go ahead.
Well, coming over from England, from Banbury Martial Arts, we've got my guy, Tommy Taylor, fighting. Yep. He's fighting at middleweight against Will Davis on the amateur card. Now, Tommy's been out for a couple of years. He's super young, but he's had injuries. Well, I'm not going to name which injuries they are, just in case his opponent's watching. And it's taken him quite a while to get back into the groove of things. But Tommy is an absolute whiz on the ground. He's got good heavy hands as well on his feet, but he's just one of those guys that's, I've watched a lot in the early part of his career in Battle Arena. And he's certainly one to watch. And he's coming over with his brother Joe, actually. So, look out for the Taylor boys, but specifically Tommy Taylor on the card.
Tommy Taylor, best of luck to him. It's an absolutely massive amateur card ahead of this show. We think there's 16 amateur fights, which, again, is another thing that I love that Cage Warriors do, because they really do sort of bring up those guys and give them a big platform to fight off of. The main event of the undercard, the amateur card, is Glenn Williams. He's going to be fighting Logan Osler. They're going to be fighting for the vacant light heavyweight amateur belt for Cage Warriors Academy Wales. And that is going to be a big fight, because Glenn has he's an amateur. I interviewed him the other day on Facebook Live, and he has an absolutely massive following. I went there to watch him in his last fight against Jamie McDonald, and there was like 300-400 people kind of chanting for him. So huge support for an amateur. He's a really talented guy. He's a real character as well. So that's going to be a good fight. I know I've not seen Logan fight, but I've heard very, very good things from good people. So this is going to be another good fight and a really big amateur fight there. So we're looking forward to that one. And as you mentioned as well, we've got Ben Ellis, I believe, making his pro debut. Guy looked absolutely quality in his last fight. Took, obviously, the win over Scott Pedersen, which is no mean feat. And then another one which we're going to see is Oban Elliott making his second pro fight, which Oban, he's another like Mason Jones, I think, who's got, when you see him, he's really got something about him. He's built a big following just because he fights the way he fights. You know, he does everything, but he's entertaining. So, yeah, really looking forward to see Oban fight as well. Thoughts on Oban? I know you've seen him a few times, Kate. You know?
Yeah, I've watched him a few times. Again, I love that style. And also, again, he's just the full package. He came across so well in that interview we did with him. He's just such a laugh and he's such a natural. Like, to be that relaxed. I mean, we interview a lot of amateurs and sometimes they come across great when you're talking to them on message or one-to-one, and then as soon as you're actually doing the interview, they kind of freeze, which is natural because this isn't a normal thing to do. But he just seems to take everything in his stride. He never seems nervous. He loves what he's doing, and he just looks like he's enjoying it so much.
Yeah, and he's predicting a first-round KO for this one as well. So I spoke to him the other day, I interviewed him, and he's very, very confident. He's been training
a lot. I'll back him on that as well.
He's been training a lot for this one down at Chris Reese Academy with Brett Johns. So he's very confident coming to this one. So that's going to be another good fight. So that brings Cage Warriors 104 to an end for our predictions. I think we agreed on quite a few tonight, didn't we? Which is unusual for us guys.
Mm. I think other than the main event, I think we're pretty much unanimous, weren't we?
Yeah. Fair play.
We were.
But yeah, guys, for anyone watching, Cage Warriors 104, that's April 27th. I'm at Cardiff's Indigo Arena now, formerly the Ice Arena. One hell of a card, huge display of Welsh talent, so make sure you get down there and watch that. I think you can still probably get tickets from the fighters if you wanted to go. But yeah, guys, we've obviously a lot of different staff for us for MMA UK doing all different things around the country. Chris, I know you had a show for Battle Arena on the weekend. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what the show was and what went down?
Yeah, so Battle Arena 55 took place in Kettering, which is not really the hotbed of MMA, you would expect, but it was a... It was Kettering's not quite the wart on the backside of Northamptonshire, but it's pretty close. joking aside, it was the first arena show for Battle Arena. They had it at the Sports Arena in Kettering, and that's the home of UK volleyball. And it was just a fantastic event. Again, they had fighters from all over Europe, Norway, Sweden, Hungary, Bulgaria, France, Poland. All these guys came over for what is essentially an amateur show with a very, very small amount of pro fighters on a specific Norwegian card or right at the very top of the UK card. Some amazing performances, as always. Standout guy is the person I expected to be the standout guy, Jordan Vucinic. He's a young fighter who I know very well because he trains at BST where I go. He's only moved up to 3-1 now as a featherweight. But the one defeat that he had kind of pulled his career back a bit, and then he had a couple of hand injuries. But he's just so talented. He walked into the arena and he just looked every bit the star that we expected him to be. And I predicted a 26-second win for him. He took a whole 2 seconds more, 28 seconds to win the main event. And call out pretty much every featherweight in the UK saying, look, fight me. Someone just fight me. And there's not a huge amount of guys that I would put back against him. But he's certainly one to watch going forward. Talking about the Norwegian card, I've been fortunate enough to host a Norwegian section. So sandwiched in the middle of the undercard and the main card. Battle Arena have got a specific deal with a company called Netavision, which is the second largest media company in Norway. And they stream the event live to Norway. And there's an 8-fight card. It's the second time we've done it. So I host that 8-fight card. And guys come over from Scandinavia, or guys and girls come over from Scandinavia to compete on a Scandinavian-specific card. on that section of the card, there's a really strong, well, we had two female fights, actually. Really strong performance from a Swede, Bezan Mahmoudi, in the opener, which was at women's strawweight. A phenomenal performance from Adrienne Holt, who's a Norwegian superstar in the making. She's 2-0 now. She's a tank. She's a top heavy wrestler. She just grabs hold of people and just absolutely mauls them in the cage. You know when, have you seen the film The Revenant, where Leonardo DiCaprio just gets grabbed hold of by the bear? Yeah, the bear just literally throws him around. This is what Adrienne Holt was doing to Maria Anderson. Now, Maria Anderson's a submission specialist, and when she got a second to literally take a breath, she's trying to throw up all sorts of submissions. You can see she's supremely talented on the ground. But Adrienne was just Hulk smashing her all over the place. It was amazing. And then there was a phenomenal performance from Mr. Ivana Siric. So Ivana Siric is a female fighter out of Frontline in Norway. MMA Trondheim in Norway. She's one of the best young female amateur fighters across Europe. She's amazing. But her other half, Sasa Petrovic, he had a lot to live up to. And he came over, fought a welterweight against Fourth Dimension Stephen Johal, so Norway versus England matchup. He was amazing, honestly. Fourth Dimension churn out talented fighter after talented fighter. And Johal had no match whatsoever for Petrovic. Petrovic put on one of the performances of the night.
Chris, can I ask a question first?
Go on, far away.
With the I would imagine this, you know, with this streaming in Norway, it's got to be a pretty big deal. You know, if I was a fighter now, you know, I definitely want to be on that and be sort of have myself published out on mainstream Norwegian platform.
100%.
Do you feel like, you know, you might do a kind of a card with UK versus Norway? That could be a good thing, right?
It'd be interesting. Well, that's something I'd have to speak to James about, because James, I work with James on the management side of things. Battle Arena is 100% his. I'm just essentially an employee of his, but it's something I'm sure they would look at, because he's done those types of shows before where he's taken a team out to Malta years back, a UK team out to Malta, and he had an England versus Malta show. But you were bang on, you know, for fighters actually wanting to be on the Norwegian card. Yeah. And
the big deal, isn't it? Moment with the battle of, like, you know, you've seen Cage Warriors now have been taken off BT Sport, they're solely on Fight Pass. It's a big thing to be put in front of a big audience like that. And I don't know much about the Norwegian broadcaster, but if you say they're one of the biggest ones, then that's a massive deal for Battle Arena, I would think.
It's huge. It's on primetime. It's primetime viewing on a Saturday night in Norway, and the viewing figures are absolutely phenomenal. They were absolutely desperate to continue the deal after the fledgling show a couple of months back. And one of the best UK amateur fights that he had on the card, he actually put specifically on the Norway card. Chrissy Mountford from Stoke versus Ryan Tahota from Coventry. Yeah. Now, these two guys, seen them fight on Battle Arena before. They've got a pedigree. Chrissy brings this huge, it's like a football crowd. The thing about Chrissy Mountford in a winter wonderland as he walks out, the guy's got an absolutely epic following. And he lives up to it in the cage. He's got a boxing background, but he's really developed his game. He started off absolutely firing into Battle Arena, went 3-0, lost a fight, got submitted, and then off the back of that, went away and just spent the next few months just grappling competition after grappling competition. And he came in against Ryan Tahota. He comes from Toe to Toe in Coventry, which is predominantly a boxing gym, so striking centric. Rather than just trying to match him toe for toe, Chrissy was very sensible, took him down, dominated him on the ground, and got the victory. So yeah, there's some great performances. Chrissy Mountford, Oliver Pendrick, who's looked like a capoeira star. He was absolutely crazy against Callum Edwards at 66. And then for another fighter from BSC, Lucas Zala, took a national title with a really intelligent performance against the super talented Dan Dean. So, finished up, two gyms did very, very well that night. BSC went 3-0 on the night, but also a big shout out to Elite Training Centre as well, who had wins for Lee Anthony and Tom Gibbs. So they went 2-0. So really, really good night. It was littered with superb performances. So some great young prospects coming up across the UK and European scene. And we'll see them certainly progress on from Battle Arena into the likes of Cage Warriors, into the likes of Bellator and beyond. You know, speaking of young fighters progressing on, actually, just before I do hand back to you, I want to give a shout out to Jake Hadley. So Jake Hadley, young fighter from Birmingham, Team Renegade, went out to South Africa in EFC. Now, EFC's got to be one of the top five shows on the planet.
Yeah,
went up against Zulu. Yeah, went up against Zulu, who is one of EFC's stars at 125. Went in there, took a dominant decision victory. We now have another world title holder in the UK on a legitimate premier show. So, you know, hats off to Jake Hadley. Amazing performance from a very young fighter who's still very, very early on in his career. And really interested to see how he progresses from here onwards.
Yeah, big shout out Jake Hadley. Congratulations on that win. And onwards and upwards for Battle Arena, with the looks of it as well.
Yeah, I'll stop gassing on now.
that was well put, Chris. Like I said, it's nice to hear about up-and-coming shows like this, especially, like I said, that's a very big deal, you know, because MMA promotions now are fighting for survival, I think, you know, battling to kind of get those kind of promotions and get on TV deals. So for you guys to get that, I think, is a massive deal. And I think it's the start of big things for you guys.
Well, Battle Arena, they're growing, you know. They've got the second Irish show coming up next month. There are issues with the first one, let's say, but I think the second one should be okay. They've got a show in Scotland coming up later on in the year. That's just on the cusp of being signed off. So it's certainly an up-and-coming promotion. You can say that 55 shows in, but it's floating under the radar a lot of the time, and it's good to have that type of longevity for shows in the UK, for the young fighters to actually come up and progress through to get onto the globals.
Yeah, exactly. And one fighter I just want to give a shout-out as well, speaking of guys who, you know, you said about Jake going out to the UFC, another Welsh guy that I want to give a shout-out this week is Aidan James. Aidan is going to be competing for Brave FC on the weekend out in Jordan, another big fight for him. So wish him all the best. He's currently undefeated. So, big shout-out to him. And hopefully he can go down and get the job done and keep progressing towards that Brave title and bring another title back to Wales and the UK as well.
Yeah, more talented Welsh guys. That guy is super talented.
Very good.
I've seen him fight a couple of times. And he's another really humble, intelligent, nice young man.
Definitely. So big shout-out and best of luck to Aidan going down to Jordan. Caitlin, I want to come to you now because you were out this weekend, hard at work, Cage Warriors Academy in Colchester.
Yeah.
What happened? What was the night like? And just give us a rundown of what happened there.
I wish I could say I was hard at work. It was just so enjoyable. The only thing that was tough was that I missed a few of the fights where I was interviewing other people because there were 33 fights on the card, which is pretty normal for Jack shows. But it does mean that it's a little bit like ACB.
You definitely get your money's worth with Jack's shows.
Oh my God, you really do. Honestly, there were 10 title fights on the card and they just all delivered. They also had the Norwegian piece in the middle. So there were the prelims, then the Norway card that was being streamed back to Norway, and then they had the main card. It was sensational. Like, I could go on about so many of the fights. I'm going to try and keep it to four of them, so we'll finish at a reasonable time. But Joe Doyle, who is coaching the women's team, the UK MMAF for the IMAF tournament, she won the women's bantamweight belt, and she told me afterwards that's probably her last amateur fight. So she's going to be coaching the guys in June. She was going straight to Stockport the next day to do some training with the guys. She'll be with them through the tournament in June, and then she's looking to turn pro. So it was being a woman that's really into MMA, for me, she's quite a role model in the sport. So it's really cool for me to get to meet her, and she won in style. From where I was standing, it was quite hard because I was behind one of the posts. So I saw her get the triangle on and I wasn't quite sure how she finished, but it was by armbar in the end. So she was in control the whole fight. It didn't last that long. And that's her third first round finish at Cage Warriors Academy Southeast. So it's obviously a happy hunting ground for her. And then it was a good night for BKK. One of my teammates, George Tanessa, who's called the son of Dracula, he sometimes puts on a cape when he wins. He's just a nutter. He's he comes from such a strong wrestling pedigree. He's Romanian, and he's got gold medals coming out of his ears. Like, if you look on his social media, you can see all the trophies and medals that he's ever won for his wrestling, and it's really set him up well in MMA. And Jack's just bringing him through to, you know, he's gonna go places. This was his toughest test yet. It was a really tough fight for him, and he won by decision, but he, you know, definitely did enough to win by decision. So that was a good one. Muhyiddin Abubakar, I feel like I've interviewed him more times than anyone else, because he just keeps winning, and he's very big on the Southeast scene. So he just won the flyweight title at Rock, and now he's won the flyweight title at Cage Warriors Academy Southeast, which I actually thought he was defending that, because he won the Cage Warriors Academy Grand Prix at Cage Warriors 100. But apparently that was just for some kind of, trophy.
Yeah.
But in the process, he had beaten the current Cage Warriors flyweight champ anyway, in Kieran Mulholland, who then ended up vacating the belt. So it's a bit of a complex story, but anyway, he's champ now, and he also wants to compete at IMAF, and I'm really loving these, like, young athletes that just want to get as much experience under their belt at amateur level. When we interviewed Mohamed Mokaev a little while ago, he was just saying he wanted to fight the toughest opponents at amateur, so that he knew what to expect and could keep his pro record as clean as possible. And I really love the people that are just desperate for the toughest challenges in their amateur career. And he's just a really nice guy as well. Again, he was like trying to call out for people to fight him. He's really looking for a fight. If any of the top amateur flyweights in the UK or Europe, please get in touch either on this podcast or to him or at me on social media. He's desperate to have one last amateur fight before he goes to IMAF in November. And then finally, Craig Edwards, my BKK teammate. He was really, I knew that he was going to win. I definitely knew that he was going to win, but I was a little bit nervous for him. He was 1-3 in his pro career. And I just thought there must be an immense amount of pressure on him. It almost would have been better if it was me, I would have felt better fighting away from home. He was fighting in his home territory against another guy who's like really well known in the region. It was the Battle of Anglia. It was getting a lot of exposure. It just must have been so much pressure. But he came out, Scott kind of went for him, and he just got him straight against the cage, got the double underhooks. And he just, from there, he just took him down. He was beating him up. And Scott is one tough dude, because these punches I could hear from where I was sitting. And then Craig said that he was just like, maybe he's not being hurt by these at all. I can't see how that's possible. I think he was just being tough, but he was like, I don't want to punch myself out. So he slid into a head and arm triangle, which he reckons he never gets the finish on in the gym, but he got the finish in the first round. It kind of gone into the second half of the first round, and it was just, oh, such a relief, and I was so happy for him, and it was just the perfect end to just a fantastic fight card. Yeah. Jack Mason does such a brilliant job of that card. As James was saying earlier about them not coming to Scotland, I know that that Graham Boylan has said that they're kind of basing the academies around gyms and people that they know really well, that they know can like really form the big basis of a card. So obviously you've got Tulare, in Wales, and you've got Next Gen in Liverpool, and Jack Mason has become the point person, and now they're holding actual Cage Warriors in Colchester. So we've got another one coming up on the 31st of May. Craig might be on that card. And also my other teammate, Steve Amable, is going to be on that card. So epic, epic, epic fights. I'm just so, so buzzing still about the weekend and so excited for the card in May as well.
Yeah. So we've got a good weekend of fights all around with the teams then. And you said about Steve Amable, he's going to be fighting Aiden Stephen, I believe, who last defeated Chris Edwards. So
yeah,
that's going to be a big fight there. So very much looking forward to that. And big shout out to both those guys, two very talented men. I think
if Steve wins this, he might get a title shot this year. I could see that happening. He's really
definitely. He's a good fighter, isn't he? So he's been about a little bit around. So I wouldn't be surprised if he beats Aiden. Then he's definitely in with a shout, I think.
Yeah.
So yeah, guys, I think that's a show there. Obviously, just one last time, Cage Warriors 104 is down at Cardiff on April 27th. Get down there. It's going to be a big show for Wales and for the whole of the UK, really. So get at that. Hopefully you've enjoyed listening to us blabber on and tell you what we think, even though we'll probably be wrong on all our predictions. That's what usually happens when we predict. But I suppose some of us got to be right. What do you think, Chris?
Well, that's the thing. At least one fight will have some of us be correct.
Yeah. Exactly. That's why I want you on, Chris. I know you like to be a bit contrary sometimes, so glad to have you on this evening.
I can't believe you said that about me.
I can't believe we agreed on so much, Chris.
I know, we never normally do.
So guys, just want to say thank you both for coming on, and James Hamilton, if he's watching. Hope he's still not driving that car, and hope he got home safely. Chris, where can people get you on social media, buddy? Where can people hit you up?
So on Twitter, it's Chris_BRAM. That's Bravo Romeo Alpha Mike. On Instagram, it's @BattleReady. On Facebook, my management page is Battle Ready Athlete Management.
Brilliant. Get Chris on social media, guys, for anything you want, any predictions. If you want to fight, get at him.
If you want to mock me for my decision making, then that's the best way to do it.
Yeah. Exactly. And Katie, what about yourself?
I'm @Cuppers_MMA, or I'm Katie Hunter on Facebook.
Brilliant. So if you want to get Katie, if you don't like what she predicted tonight, you want to give her some abuse, add her, message her, do what you've got to do.
I'm used to being trolled now.
Yeah. And for me, guys, it's Lewis_MMA UK on Twitter, and just Lewis Smith on Facebook, if you can find me amongst the 6 million other Lewis Smith. Give me an ad. And guys, until next time, I think that's a show. Thanks for joining us. Any final thoughts anyone wants to add?
Not for me, thanks.
No.
I'm just super excited for this card. Super excited.
Yeah, same. Can't wait for it. So yeah, guys, thank you very much, and that's us over and out. Cheers, guys.